shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
I just want to know why the liberals are pro-Muslim.
We have not put this issue in front of the American people.
He just came up out of nowhere. And
it's not cool, it's not funny.
Not anymore. We got a whole this week on the Phil Hendry Show. God almighty. On this radio show, ladies and gentlemen, unlike any other nationally syndicated show in history, we still are trying to figure out how loud is too loud.
Well, you have to get mad about it.
Why not get mad about it? Why not get mad about it? Why not? I'm being cool about it and helping. Being a cool guy about it ain't helping. Being a nice guy about it ain't helping anything. Being mad about it isn't helping anything. Nothing helps. Nothing. Unlike any other nationally syndicated radio show in this business going on 38 years. 38 years. I know what a level is. When it goes into the red, we can't hear nothing on this show. Oh, my God. I've kept a lid on it. I've flipped out behind the scenes. I have gone crazy off the air. Now it's spilling over onto the air. That's what they want. Maybe that's somebody up there, upstairs in broadcast land. Oh my God. I love being on the radio, but I'm telling you folks, the business model in radio, it's like a bombed out city. I don't know that we have any industry leaders. We have none. You know, Howard Stern is suing Mel Karmazin. You know that, don't you?
I heard about that.
How long have I been telling you that that guy was an accident waiting to happen, that Karmazin? Everybody kissing his ass because they think he's some kind of a rainmaker with that Sirius XM. A child could have seen what he did was buy out the competition. Then wound up spending money on talent that isn't even talent. I don't know what he was doing. I mean, there's not a human being. There isn't a scientist. There isn't a, ladies and gentlemen, there is no school or discipline that can tell you what it was that Mel Karmazin was doing over at Sirius XM. Now, he can tell you. He can sit there with Sean Hannity and say, you see, I believe to create wealth, you have to have wealth, and to have wealth, you know, whatever bullcrap you're pitching this week, Karmazin. When I listened to you then, I listened to you when you bought XM, I've listened to you all along the way, and there's not a bloody word that comes out of your mouth that makes any sense. Not any. I said that in a letter to some jackass with a radio blog, right? And this guy, and this is the way the radio industry is. This is particularly the radio press. They don't want to say a bad thing about Karmazin. There's certain people they don't want to talk bad about. Well, they don't talk really bad about anybody except the little people. They have a field day dumping on people that have no real power in this business. The cats that have all the juice, they don't go near. A guy like Karmazin. Or Westwood One, or whatever, you know. They don't go near it, man. You've never seen a business like the radio business. You've never been around anything like it. Most businesses try to get better. Most businesses try to improve the product. Most businesses will get together and talk about the product. How can we improve the product? How can we deliver it better? How can we give the people a real bang for their buck? What can we do? What are we not doing on the air? You go to a radio seminar these days, we're not talking about how we make our shows better. We're debating politics. We're doing our shows for each other. I mean, I'm telling you, Have you ever in your life heard of anything more ridiculous? We get a whole bunch of these gas-bagging talk show hosts together. Oh, in Marina Del Rey one year, or in New York the next year, or in Las Vegas some other year. And instead of sitting down as professionals and saying, say, what are you doing on your show? Well, here's what I'm doing. Well, how are you doing this? What are you doing? How are you maximizing quarter hour? How are you keeping the audience through commercial break? That's what we should be talking about. But no, we don't do that. We sit around and we do our shows for each other. We talk about our politics, our political point of view, as if any of it is real. As if the political points of view. Anyway, this is exactly what we talk about on the show. This is just business. You know, you want to talk about business. I'm not going to talk about the government right now because, you see, I want to make money and I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste my time fooling around and screwing around with a lot of baloney just because somebody is a phony, has got some kind of a phony radio show and wants to talk about how the government this, the government that. The government's got all kinds of problems and the government does all kinds of bad things. But hey, you know, when it comes to my business, I want to find a way to make money, and the government ain't holding me back. It's not holding my industry back. The stupid bastards that run this business are holding us back. So today we got the news that Howard Stern, who is one of the legendary talents in this business, and it's an amazing thing, and I've said this before, Howard Stern is a legendary talent, and this industry acts as if he doesn't even exist. I mean, the way they talk about him. Oh, you listen to guys. Well, you know, I've heard about him, but I've never listened to him. You listen to more lies about Howard Stern, or they'll say, you know, he's, you know, I believe in doing real radio, not what Howard Stern does. When you hear someone knock Howard Stern, that guy is a jive-ass, punk-ass amateur. He's not a real broadcaster. Howard Stern is a legend, like Wolfman Jack. Like Wolfman Jack. Like locally, Bob Grant in New York. And you can name your own local legends. Nationally, though, we've had them. And that's just a fact, see? So, all right, so be that as it may, you know, Mel Karmazin hires him to go over to Sirius XM. And now Howard's suing this guy because he says, Stern says, and his agent Don Buchwald say, that Karmazin's stiffing him for stock money they owe him, I believe. Now, whether that's true or not, and I have no way of knowing because it's a lawsuit, so there's one side. I will tell you this. The radio business, the business end, the end of it that is run by guys like Karmazin is in abysmal shape, and you can't blame anybody other than people like Karmazin. You cannot blame the government. The government has bent over backwards for guys like him. The government has bent over backwards for these radio companies. They've bent over backwards allowing them to license all kinds of stations. They've bent over backwards allowing them to lease all kinds of stations. You know the story. No. This is a group of the most feckless bastards allowed to live past the cradle. They make the guys in Detroit look like brain surgeons. They make the bankers look like they're all seers, oracles. And he ain't the only one that's suing people. There's a raft of people in this business that are suing employers or partners, the money guys. The talent is now turning around and suing the money people. That's what's happening. You know why? Because they're finding out something that I've known for a long time. These clowns are about as empty a suit as you're ever going to find. They can't sell it, can't market it, can't affiliate it. They can't do anything with it. Now, do you know people that listen to the radio? Yes. You know a lot of people listen to the radio? Yes. Would it appear to you that the radio business is healthy, at least in terms of people that want to listen to it? Yes. Do you think then that maybe we could sell the radio business? Yes. Do you think we have people that can do that? No. It's like automobiles. The auto business is doing poorly. All I see are cars. Everywhere I go, there's a car. So there's got to be a way to sell them. Somebody's buying them. I see them out here on the street. Same thing with the radio business. So it's going to be a real interesting... this is going to be an interesting 2011, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but what do you think going to happen?
I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this much. the satellite business, which at one time was really, it had a future. The satellite radio business had a future. It has now been outpaced by internet radio. I never would have believed it, but internet radio is now the model, and they're making money. We're making money. Our website makes money. Now, we're not internet radio. We do an over-the-air show, but we have a website business, a subscription business, and we're doing okay. Knock wood. So far, so good. You know, I'm not saying I'm some kind of a genius businessman, but satellite radio that had the power 3, 4, 5 years ago, they have none. You've never seen anything like it before in your life. You've never seen an industry or a part of an industry drop the ball as quickly as those guys. So we'll find out.
Boy, you better hope nobody here, or you better, oh man, you're always saying that.
Bud, who's going to hear it? What are you talking about, man? What do I care?
They'll never allow you to be on there.
I don't give a damn. I don't care. I don't work for free. Going over to Sirius means I got to work for nothing. Are you out of your mind? You know, look, I know we're in a down economy, man. Does that mean I got to sit here and start picking my clothes out of a bin someplace? If those guys can't pay, then we're going to have to go out and find some other place that pays. That's all there is to it. We're going to sit here and pay ourselves, you know, or whatever we got to do.
Yeah, but what if Mr. Kim Tarmazan says that he wants to pay you $1 billion?
Yeah. You think that's going to happen?
Well, if Howard Stern goes away.
No, it ain't going to happen. Any guy that's so stupid, he pays Oprah Winfrey the money that he paid her to be on the radio. Any guy that's so stupid that pays Martha Stewart the money that he paid her to be on the radio, not television, radio. Any cat that is that dumb ain't smart enough to pay me. Now, that's the truth, Ruth, as the man said, right? That's it.
That's it, man.
All right, coming back, where's the best place to work, huh? What is the number one place on a list of desired employers? What do you think that is? Don't say it. And he will, too. We'll be back with that and more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Lawrence Taylor also is now officially a sex offender, officially. So, I don't know.
Send him a card?
Send him a card, yeah. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Why would you say something like that?
Looks like you got a shrunken head.
Hey, man, don't you shut up and say stuff like that.
Well, guys.
You know something, bud? If that happened to you, we're back. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. We're talking about this terribly unfortunate young man, Dallas Weans. He was a construction worker. This poor young man was terribly disfigured in a power line accident. And what happened to him is just tragic, and yet he has undergone a face transplant surgery, and he got kisses from his 3-year-old daughter.
Daughter kiss? Well, I'm not trying to make no fun.
Yeah, you are making fun, and I don't like it. Saying the guy looks like he's got a shrunken head.
Yeah, man. I mean, what about you?
I wouldn't want a face transplant. I want to get a head transplant. On account,
get out of here, man.
You guys are throwing a face to face.
You don't have to say stupid, insensitive crap like that, you dummy.
I got a plate in my head.
Yeah, you got a plate in your head, all right. You ought to consider yourself lucky. This poor kid, you ought to see this kid. Well, suffice to say, the young man suffered such horrific burns that there's nothing left of his face. And I mean that literally. So what they're going to do is they performed one of these face transplants, which is, you know, we've heard so much about it, and they're really amazing. And I'm going to hold this picture up for my viewers on the video cast, but now I got to tell you, it's very shocking, all right? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, you see that? That young man You can see that's a devastating, devastating injury. But that is a photograph that I showed you from 2010. Now, they just performed a full face transplant in the hopes that he'll smile again. This is part of the copy. And feeling kisses from his three-year-old daughter. He received a new nose, lip, skin, muscle, and nerves from an unidentified dead donor in an operation paid for by the U.S. military, which wants to use what is learned to help soldiers with severe facial wounds. That's amazing. Weens will not resemble either what he used to be or the donor, but something in between, said plastic surgeon Dr. Bowden Pomerhawk. The tissues are really molded on a new person. Pomerhawk led a team of more than 30 doctors, nurses, and other staff at Brigham and Women's Hospital during the 15-hour operation last week. This is in Boston, I think. Weens was listed in good condition at the Boston Hospital on Monday. He did not appear at a news conference with the surgeon. The Fort Man's features were all but burned away, and he was left blind after hitting a power line while painting a church in November 2008. Oh, my God. The transplant was not able to restore his sight. He's lost his sight. And some nerves were so badly damaged from his injury that he will probably have only partial sensation on his left cheek and left forehead, said the surgeon. When I saw Dallas for the first time, I was worried that there may not be much we could do, said Dr. Pomerhawk. Weens has been able to talk to his family on the phone and his grandfather, Del Peterson, who attended the news conference. If you saw the news conference, his grandfather was there helping him, his grandson, walk to the car. I mean, it was a beautiful thing to see a family like that, you know.
That was his grandfather. I was wondering who that man was.
Yeah, that was his grandfather. After the accident, Weens said he could choose to get bitter or he could choose to get better. His choice was to get better. Thank God today he's better, said his grandfather, Mr. Peterson. In an Associated Press story and a YouTube video last fall, Weens spoke poignantly about why he wanted a transplant and how he wanted to smile again and feel kisses from his daughter, who turns 4 next month. Face transplants give horribly disfigured people hope of an option other than looking in the mirror and hating what they see, he said. He told the AP that his daughter and his faith have kept him motivated. She says, Daddy has a boo-boo, but God and the doctors are making Daddy's boo-boo all better.
Man, you think she really said that?
Why wouldn't she have said it?
Well, I mean, it sounds so cute and everything. Maybe they made it up on account to make it... You know what I mean?
Boy, Bud, you're really cynical, man.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Why can't a kid say that?
It sounds too perfect.
Well, maybe little kids talk that way.
Yeah, but don't it sound perfect?
Yeah, it sounds perfect. And you want to know something, Bud? Sometimes life is perfect. See what happened to this poor man? How about a little something perfect coming out of it, for God's sake?
Well, it's not like Daddy had a boo-boo. Sound like somebody wrote it for her.
What is with you, man? Is everything a TV show with you?
You ought to see Truman Show when I saw it other night.
Yeah, well, I saw that for the first time, too.
Oh, is that right? You two guys saw Truman Show, huh?
Yeah.
Well, hey, they saw Truman Show.
You ought to see it.
I have seen it.
It's all about how everything's a TV show.
Oh, really? Is that right? Look, I know that, man, okay? It ain't like it's some revelation. I understand about Truman. It's got nothing to do with this. The Truman Show is a movie that came out at a period of time, that was pre-9/11, as I remember, at a time of heightened cynicism. You know, I think it's funny, I forget how cynical we really were. Following 9/11, people started joking about, oh, they say the world's going to change. What's changed about it? A hell of a lot has changed. A hell of a lot has changed. There's a lot of people that wish it wasn't, that it never happened. I see those people. They get all pissed off when you talk about it. Those are the people that don't like talking about it, you know. And then I see people that are, like, amping in the other direction. But the fact is that cynicism behind a movie like Truman Show, that everything's a TV show, that everything is manipulated, that everything is, and you know, here we are caught in the Matrix. That's another one. Sometimes life is just not, what's the new one now that we were looking at, Robert? What was that?
Called Adjustment Bureau.
The Adjustment Bureau. But that looks like a turd.
What are you talking about? It looks bitching.
That looks like a turd.
Why? Why do you say that?
How many more movies do I got to look at about, well, behind the scenes, you weren't supposed to do this and you weren't supposed to do that, because behind the scenes is the Matrix. Behind the scenes is the Adjustment Bureau. Behind the scenes is the Truman Show guy. Behind the scenes. This is what we want. We think we fear it. We want it. We want what's behind the scenes, because if there isn't anything behind the scenes, then this stuff is happening for real, and it scares the crap out of us. So, of course, we want to have the Matrix and all that other stuff. We want to feel like daddy's in control, like there's some big daddy out there pulling all the strings. Well, I got news for you, Jack. It ain't like that.
I still say that guy...
Don't say it or I'll belt you.
Head transplant, please. Ow, ow,
ow, ow. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. There's a lot to get to. Victoria Jackson has lost her mind. She went on some homophobic rant. Now, if you don't like gay people, and there's a lot of people that don't like gay people, and you know, that's gonna be that's America. Everybody got an opinion. Victoria Jackson wouldn't exactly be the number one person on the list of people that I would think of. She was a former Saturday Night Live comic, although she does play the ukulele, which is weird. But anyway, she slammed Glee in a homophobic rant, so we'll listen to that. She thinks the show tries to turn kids gay. I don't know what her trip is, man. She could be joking, too, for all I know.
You think everybody's joking?
I don't know. I mean, Poe's Law, man. Remember Poe's Law?
Yeah.
Poe's Law is, when it comes to fundamentalist Christians, it's impossible to make fun of them because some of them come off like it's a joke. Like the Phelps, like the whatever the hell they're called, the Westboro Baptist Church. All right, but first this on Libya. Let me tell you something about Libya, okay? Just if I may say this. The United States originally was a part of an Arab League endorsed, which I thought was almost a miracle, that the Arab League said yes to an aggressive act against a fellow member, but nonetheless they did. They said yes, they gave their approval, whatever the hell you want to call it, which is a very rare thing, but nonetheless, they gave their approval to a NATO and UN no-fly zone imposed over Libya, of which the United States would be a coalition partner. Now, how the hell we ever got from no-fly zone to lobbing missiles in there, I don't know. Maybe there's a reason that I'm missing, and that's fine. That's fine, because if we're going to lob missiles, I don't agree with the people who say, do you know how much those missiles go? Like Michael Moore, who is really, that guy is as stupid a human being as God has ever allowed to make $1 million on a fake documentary. Honest to God. I mean, I do not begrudge the man his success, but please, please don't tell me he's some kind of thinker. That guy's philosophy, his take, his analysis, his view of everything in the world is so far up his own, you know, sphincter. That guy's got no view of anything other his, you know, other than his own insides. But this jackass was saying things like, "Those you know how much those Tomahawk missiles cost? $600,000 each. Do you know how many teachers we could get for that?" Listen, you stupid fat clown. Number one, are you saying that we should not even invest in a defensive posture? If that's what you're saying, I got nothing more to say to you. But let's say that he's not saying that. Let's say that he's in favor of buying armaments and defensive weapons, etc., which I, of course, am completely in favor of. Well, if you got them, use them! If we've got a Navy, and we got one hell of a Navy, we got submarines, and we got a whole lot of those, and we have all kinds of surface-to-air stuff, all kinds of ordnance we can lob in there. We've been spending the money for it. We've been testing the systems out, and maybe some of them need testing. I can't think of a better place than Libya. The hell's wrong with that? These missiles, as you probably know, many of these defensive systems, as they call them now, are more and more tuned with one thing in mind, and that is the elimination of collateral damage. More and more and more, the guidance systems, the computers, gimbals and whatever else it is in the actual nose, the armed nose of those things that makes them fly true and straight. More and more, we're designing these things to minimize collateral damage. That is, injury to civilians. This is a primary area of research and development for the military when it comes to these kinds of weapons. Offensive or defensive. So, you know, might as well test these babies out. You know, lob a few of those in there, the tomahawk, I don't know. But here's the thing that everybody agrees on. Everyone is agreeing on this, including me. Whatever the hell it is we're doing, would somebody please explain it? That's all I want. President Obama says the goal is to get Gaddafi out of there. I didn't know that. I thought the goal was for us to simply assist in a tactical maneuver, which is to keep the Libyan Air Force on the ground. No fly zone. We did it in Iraq with great success following the Gulf War after we failed to help the uprising, Shias who were uprising in Iraq, as we failed to take any steps at all because, gee, that's interesting. It was George Bush who did not invade Iraq. He didn't go for the oil. He didn't go to Baghdad. I guess that kind of throws everything up in the air about what an aggressive warmonger he was. But then again, why let the facts get in the way? Yeah, sure, I know. It's the euro. It's not the dollar. That's why we didn't go take the oil then, and that's why people have done more twists and turns to try to justify how they think that the whole Bush cabal had something in for Saddam Hussein when George Bush Sr. could have gone in there and kicked his ass, and the whole world would have applauded him for it. Anyway, so whatever it is we're doing, how about somebody telling me?
Well, I thought it was going to get Gaddafi out of there.
No, it ain't to get Gaddafi out of there. I mean, that's what the people of Libya or the rebels want to have happen. But what the UN and NATO and the Arab League want is a no-fly zone. At least make this game, as far as I can tell, they want to make the game a little more even. Is that what it is?
Yeah, if they don't have no Air Force, then it's more even.
I mean, it sounds like an asinine way to fight but keep the planes out of it. Because as we learned from World War II and have learned in every war since, air power is power. Air power is the power. You got air power, you've won the war. You dominate the skies, you win the war. So keep Gaddafi's jets out of the sky. Well, we didn't just do that. Now I'm hearing all this horse dung, and this is the stuff that you worry about. All right, if we've kept... Now, what are you doing? We're not flying the no-fly zone? Yeah, well, it's a no-fly zone, too. Okay. And then what else? Well, we're also attacking their Air Force, too. Oh, attacking them? You're attacking the planes? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you blown them all up, or what's going on? Oh, yeah, it's eroded. It's significantly eroded. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me, significantly eroded. And then we have people saying that we're not doing enough. Well, look it. Nobody signed up for a war in Libya, man, any more than we signed up for a war in Egypt, any more than we signed up for a war in any of these other places. And don't give me this line of horse dung about how...
Well, we attacked Iraq.
Damn right we attacked Iraq. Damn right. Good thing, too. Glad we did. As far as I'm concerned, that's what got the ball rolling in the Middle East. Don't give me this horse dung about Tunisia or any of these other places. It was Iraq, and then it was Iran. And let me say this. If the seeds weren't planted then, man, I don't know when they were planted. Don't give me this stuff about how those events are independent. Nobody on the liberal side of the ball would dare debate that. As a matter of fact, they would go to their deaths screaming and crying and spitting to deny what I just said, because to accept any part of that is to basically undermine 8 years of self-delusion on the part of liberals. 8 years! They've been telling themselves the war in Iraq was unnecessary, was a bad move, was a mistake, was a lie, was a war crime. 8, 9 years they've been telling themselves the war in Iraq was the biggest blunder, George Bush the worst president. The Arab people are not used to westernized democracy. The Arab people are tribal people. How dare we try to impose this, that, this, that, this, that. Then the next thing you see, We got the Iranians with the green wave, and then comes Tunisia, then comes Algeria, then comes Egypt, then comes Libya, and guess what else? Over the weekend, Syria.
Are you kidding me, man? I saw that too.
Oh, yeah. And if you think that Gaddafi is ruthless, wait till you see these Syrian bastards go to work on their own people. Those guys are Nazis. Nazis. I mean, I'm telling you, I am not even exact. Nazis, baby. Nazi.
To use the French pronunciation.
Exactly. Using the French pronunciation, a Nazi. Those guys are scum-sucking SS, Gestapo, Nazi bastards in Syria. They'll put up, they'll stick bamboo under your fingernails. God knows what they'll do. And the people who were protesting in Syria over the weekend, what did I read? They opened fire on them. That's what they do down there. They just see a crowd of people, they open up, and they start shooting at them.
Yeah, but what about Kent State?
Oh, well, you get, Kent State was a horrific blunder admitted to by the National Guard. It was not an example of a business as usual by our military or by our National Guard or police. Kent State. I had to smack you just for the art of it, man, for saying that.
Yeah, but that you...
shut up, man.
Yeah, shut up. I mean, shut up. All right, so there you go, man. I just wanted to say that, and I will again say to you that the whole trip there in Libya, I agree with Jason Rance. You know, I was talking to my producer. He says, well, what the hell are we doing? I said, I don't know what we're doing. But he and I disagree. And what I said to him, well, I think that, you know, it should have been the no-fly zone. And if they're going to lob missiles, okay, fine. I mean, like I said, we've spent enough money on these missile systems. We've spent enough money on a lot of this hardware that we've got on our submarines and on our ships at sea. I said, what the hell? Well, you might as well test them out.
That's really cruel, man. You could kill an old lady or something.
Did I just get done telling you that a lot of this stuff is too, you know, the collateral damage is the one thing that we want to avoid. And you can do that easily. You just pick a target. But if the Arab League says cool it, then I say we cool it. And that's what I think I heard them say. They said, wait a second, we want a no-fly zone. I think we got to take their cue on this thing, man, because things are moving in a very nice direction there in the Middle East, and we don't want to run afoul of this stuff. If the Arab League says, okay, America, back the hell off, we said no-fly zone, fine. We're not going to go down there and say, well, we're calling the shots now. No, 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 no. Victoria Jackson slams Glee in a homophobic rant. Claims show tries to turn kids gay. Victoria Jackson, she of that childlike sort of, you know, that cutesy poo blonde act that she did there on Saturday Night Live. The former Saturday Night Live star and now Tea Party activist made an appearance on Headline News Showbiz Tonight on Monday to address the furor she caused with the homophobic comments about the Fox High School choir dramedy Glee. In her newest column for WorldNet Daily, oh, man, I remember they said, well, WorldNet Daily is fine, man, but I do not want them as a news source on this show because there's some people around here thought that they were an actual legitimate news source. Not. They're a, you know, they're basically a blog. Last week, Glee featured a kiss between two openly gay characters, Kurt and Blaine, and it sickened Victoria Jackson.
Why did you pick me to sing that song with?
Kurt, there is a moment when you say to yourself, oh, there you are. I've been looking for you forever. Bart. Watching you do Blackbird this week, that was a moment for me.
Bad boy.
About you. You move me, Kurt. And this duet would just be an excuse to spend more time with you.
The rest of my life with you. And then he said,
can you dig it?
All right, so anyway, here on Showbiz Tonight with Brooke Anderson, Saturday Night Live alum Victoria Jackson is asked how she responds to people calling her a homophobe.
Well,
thank you. The next thing, no, here it is.
Well, it doesn't matter what I think.
Uh-huh.
What matters is what the Bible says. And I'm really concerned about our country because immorality is, well, secular humanism rules the airwaves. And it's stealing the innocence away from this whole generation of children. My daughter's a teenager, and I can't find any show that she can watch.
You don't believe you're homophobic. You just...
believe
That's a cute little buzzword of the liberal agenda. Basically, mm-hmm. the Bible says homosexuality is a sin.
Also,
now,
Jason Rantz, this is a very interesting point. Dr. Drew said, Dr. Drew, listen to this, says women with, quote, little girl voices, and I think we've all in our lives met one or two or perhaps more. Dr. Drew says women with little girl voices were abused by a male figure when they were growing up.
What?
You want me to read it again? Dr. Drew says that women with little girl voices were abused by a male figure when they were growing up. Those little kind of little girl voices.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody like that?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to think back. Maybe.
I do. That's a very interesting thing. So, I don't know, Victoria?
Can you dig it?
All right, so then Jackson is able to respond to the point that shows like Glee with openly gay characters inspire gay teens in real life. Jackson argues the show is actually trying to make kids, turn them into gay kids.
No, it's not helping. They should have a celibacy campaign
uh-huh.
and tell kids that 50% of teenagers now have this new STD from oral sex. That's what they should be, you know, doing instead of trying to make kids gay.
All right. Jackson then goes off on a Muslim tangent.
Now, listen, I just want to know why the liberals are pro-Muslim and pro-gay. Muslims kill gays. That's what's confusing to me. And the only thing I can come up with is that the Muslims hate God and the gays
Right on. Now, Victoria, far be it from me to say anything other than the following.
Can you dig it?
No, actually, I don't know. That's, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I may agree in some areas. I think that extreme fundamentalist religionists of any creed can be anti-God, especially those jackasses. The rest of your screed, I don't know. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876 is our number, or 877-876-PHIL is our number, I should say. And our website, philhenryshow.com, where you can look at live streaming video of our show right now. In fact, I just had it on some, I don't know, what was I looking at there?
Got on CNN.
CNN. There ain't nothing going on except for that Libya air attack thing. Rebecca Black may be the victim of vicious cyber attacks, but she's laughing all the way to the bank. We'll tell you how much the so-called worst song ever is likely to earn here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Don't forget to hit up our website, philhenryshow.com, for your backstage pass. What do you get with your BSP? Well, I'll tell you this much. You get more on our website than any other radio website in the world. You get thousands of hours of archived material. You get live streaming video of our show. You also get live video programming, like, for instance, our afternoon show called Henry Emotionally Fragile, which debuted today. Which is just sort of me ranting about stuff, kind of like Victoria Jackson, only with less money. And anyway, all right, 877, so go over there and get a backstage pass. Do it! 877-876-PHIL. All right, so we got here Rebecca Black. Is she still in the news? Of course she is. The kid is, she's gold, man. I've been very, very shocked and amazed at the response to Rebecca Black, because I don't hear anything here with this kid, other than a kid who did a kid song, and other kids like it, and other kids hate it, and whatever, you know. One of the things with the YouTube age, the Twitter age, the Facebook age, the I must tell everybody my comments and my feelings every 2 seconds age, the navel-gazing age, as I call it. I'm getting up and walking to the refrigerator. That's a tweet. Next tweet. Oh, look, yogurt. Next tweet. Time to go to sleep. Good night, everybody. Next tweet. Is it just me or is Martha Stewart hot? I mean, just on and on and on and meaningless gar. Let's tell people what we think and feel every 2 seconds, no matter how dull, no matter how coma-inducing it is. And so naturally, in a day and age like that, You got to tell everybody what you think of some 13-year-old girl who came out with a song, whatever the hell. But because you're a grown adult, we got to make a big deal out of it. If this were, you know, 20 years ago, we wouldn't even know. We'd say, oh, the kids, they got this song, they listen to. What's it called? Oh, it's called Friday. Oh, really? It's kind of goofy. Okay, great. As I've said often over the last few days, does anybody remember the Macarena? Yes. How grown up was that? And there were adults dancing to that crap. And crap is an understatement. A song by the California Teen that has been panned by music critics. Why don't you go review something else, man? I ain't even going to have time to play this. Here it is. Well, guess what? It's made 35 million YouTube hits. The kid could make $1 million plus. Wednesday is the third day of the week. So that's an adult that came up with a parody. Like, how do you parody a song that you think is already a parody? How do you make fun of a song that you already think is funny? How do you, you know what I mean? Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance, very ably technically directed by Rick Johnson, our very fine associate producer, the best of the business, Dan Northcraft. This is Phil Hendry saying, nah, never mind.
Phil Hendry.